What's up, guys? Welcome back to another episode of Higher Power Tech Podcast, the podcast that connects you to the higher hiring power you deserve. I am your host, Mark Komar. Today, I want to talk to you guys about what to do if you are burnt out at work. And honestly, it's a little bit deeper than just what the title has. That's kind of what we had to come up with right now just to kind of get it going. But I kind of want to talk to you guys a little bit more in depth about burnout, work life. And we've talked about in the past, or you may have heard in the past, people mention work-life balance, that type of thing, right? And as you have matriculated through this work life, if you are senior or seasoned like I am, you tend to realize that there's no such real thing as work-life balance, of course, right? So, but you do realize and you do feel the weight of the work, life, stress, responsibilities hitting you from all angles. The reason why I want to talk about this one right now is for a number of reasons, honestly. Conversations that I've had with colleagues in different industries who are affluent, not only career-wise, but financially, where they are, breakdowns that they're having mentally, physically, emotionally, family-wise. And you would never peg them to be at this particular juncture, especially where they are in the success of their career, seemingly success in their career from the outside looking in. And then also I want to talk about it because of the particular time in which the airing of this video, we have heavy, heavy political dynamics because we're at the precipice of electing the next POTUS right now. And for the past few months, as you know, an election year, especially last, you know, quarter leading up into the election year, it's a lot of stress, especially if you're in C-suite, because there's a lot of turnover, there's a lot of demand, there's a lot of movement that's happening from C-suite, powers that be, CEOs, vice presidents, presidents, down, trickling down into the rest of the organization. And the pressure and the deadlines, the responsibilities are being felt along with the cuts that have happened and that happened throughout companies around election year. So there's a lot that's going on. The uncertainty of job security. A lot of you that are listening to this right now, unfortunately, most likely have been one of those to be let go. And you're looking for new work, which we've talked about what you can do to ace your interview in previous episodes. But what I want to talk to you right now about is the human aspect of this whole dynamic, the real shit, you, the individual. Because with all this stress and this extra weight of political dynamics, who's going to be the next leader of the free nation? Who's, you know, where does my job stand? My kids have schooling. I have one going to college. I have one that wants private school. My wife, you know, needs medical attention. My benefits might get cut or they have been cut because I lost my job. Stress, pressure. We have a certain deadline. You know, I have a quota of $10 million I have to, not a quota, but I have a budget of 10 mil that has been slashed to 2 million because we had to make sure we met certain financial aspects. I let go of people, the stress of letting go of those people, but then also too, my budget being cut and I still have the demands that are still met, needing to be met. I'm now stressed in my position as VP. This is real shit. This is what a lot of you are going through right now. How do you navigate these waters? If you're mid-40s and you've been at the grind for the past 10, 15 years, if you are new in the past 4 or 5 years, but you see the rat race that is, and you're trying to figure out where do you fit in this and do you want to continue pushing at this level? Can you continue pushing at this level? Nonstop meetings, nonstop demands on, you know, what your requirements are, flights, you know, from domestically from California to New York, dropping off the airplane, hitting straight into the office for a 2-hour meeting, then getting out of the 2-hour meeting, you got an org of, you know, 75 people that you need to oversee and you still got to answer emails. Can you keep this up? How do you keep this up? Because right now you haven't had a chance to commit yourself to a serious relationship, or you're married and your spouse is saying, hey, baby, I haven't seen you in, but once in 2 weeks other than on FaceTime, and our kids haven't really got a chance to see you. I know they miss you and they need their mother, but I also need my wife. And you're feeling the stress, right? Burnout time. And then you are also ingrained in, you have a party that you're pulling for, and the other party is putting up these posters and these commercials, and you're feeling the stress, the angst of, if they get in, what's it going to be? Terror, right? And there's no out, because when you go home on your social feeds, on your LinkedIn, you've seen everybody post the opposition party, and the only thing you see is the nonsense that you believe to be nonsense, and it's pulling on you that if this person gets in, it's going to, just wreck havoc on your life, on your financial status, on what you're trying to do, on your kids' future. If the other party gets in, right? If your party gets in, hopefully, but you don't know, because, the electoral college still has their way of pulling it. So you're stressed about this. And sorry if I'm ranting for a few minutes about this, but this is really what we are all facing, right? And it becomes too much at a certain point. And what that looks like in real life, in real shit, as I've been saying, you don't know why you're having a panic attack right before you go into a normal, regular Zoom meeting with your, region, and you have a slight panic attack and your heart is skipping beats, and now you feel like something's wrong. You know you've changed your nutrition a little bit. You didn't have the cake last night. You've been trying to drink a little bit more water, even though you're still not drinking a full close to a gallon, but you're trying to drink more. You went from 3 cups of coffee, right? And no sugar, or with sugar, to now 1 cup of coffee and, one sugar, right? So you've been working on that, but you still have a panic attack. You're still trying to understand, why are you forgetting things that you normally don't forget? You're trying to understand why you're so short fused with your loved ones, with your spouse, with things that you normally are not so short fused on, because it was something simple they asked you and you snapped on them and you don't know why you did that. And now you have confrontation or frustration within the family, and you don't get a chance to spend enough time with them as it is, because you're constantly behind your computer. You're working from home, but you're still not seeing them, right? And this is what it looks like, burnout. These are the signs of it. Or if you're an avid gym goer and you constantly work out, but then all of a sudden you have a hernia, or all of a sudden you get really short-winded, and you haven't even run. You normally run 3 miles on the weekend, and in your first mile you feel weak, too weak, to where you feel like you almost might get lightheaded and pass out. These are signs of burnout, ladies and gentlemen. These are signs of you're not taking care of your mental, emotional health while trying to do the yeoman work of being the C-suite exec, the mother, the wife, the husband, the parent, the sister, the brother, the son, the daughter, to the grandparents. This is what burnout looks like. And what happens too often is it's caught too late. It's caught when you do feel the lightheadedness, you feel the panic attack before the Zoom meeting, you get the dizzy feeling when you normally don't get that when you're running, you get shortness of breath, you forget things, you get short fused. These are the signs of burnout. And these are things, ladies and gentlemen, that I'm here to talk to you about. We have to make sure, just as diligent as you are about your career, about making sure you're reaching the quintessential success markers of your company, and you're putting yourself on a pedestal at the next conference because you've done everything you're supposed to. You've crossed all the T's, dotted all the I's accordingly. You've made sure every Excel sheet, everything that you need from your team has been in on time. You have to do that exact same thing for yourself. And if you're not doing that, it's on you. And I'm not trying to be hard. I'm not trying to not be considerate of the fact that you are doing a lot, because I've just mentioned all of what you're doing and I totally understand it. Hell, for Christ's sake, I'm doing the exact same shit, running 2 companies, having a daughter in college, trying to have a social life and have a partner in my life, trying to manage relationships with friends and grandparents, right? And trying to build a business and, multiple businesses, trying to, travel, but yet still make sure my contemporaries and my silent partners are happy, and still trying to make sure whatever political party that I'm trying to support or think that I think will be the best thing for us is not necessarily pulling from me, but giving to what we need in order for us to be the nation we need to be, right? So I'm in it with you. Do not get it mistaken. I'm not sitting here talking to you from a higher than thou point of view or above the fray point of perspective. I'm sitting here talking to you because I have understood in my 43 years on this earth, having recently turned 43, and I'm fine to say that. What I realize is it has to be small incremental demands that I place on myself that are non-freaking negotiable. Non-freaking negotiable. For me to be able to do all of the things that I want to do and continue to do them at a sustained high level of excellence. It's one thing to be able to do it 2, 3 years, 4 years, heck, even a decade, but then to fall off. And not only after I fall off, when I get hit, it knocks me out the game completely. That is what we don't want. And that is what we see consistently if we really look at our contemporaries, our peers, even though they seemingly are doing well and we really have real conversation, when you find out, you know, they passed out on the way home, or they passed out in the garage trying to walk into the house and their wife found them or their husband found them and they didn't know, or they fell in the bathroom and they're only in their early late 30s and they fell in the bathroom from, you know, blood loss because, you know, blood pressure is too high. These things are serious. And if you don't take care of them, they will come to bite you, because one thing about the physiology, ladies and gentlemen, it will balance itself back out. We all understand entropy is disorder, and that's how life really runs. And, you know, in physics, and that it's based off of disorder and chaos. But what we have to do is find that stoicism within the chaos that will allow us to be everything we want to be. So what am I saying? Not to keep talking for so long and so such esoteric terms, right? You need to find a way to take care of yourself so consistently in small increments, and nothing major, but enough to where those small increments, just like you do on the job, compound themselves to where you have a foundational approach to the stresses that are going to potentially knock you off or try to knock you down. So what does that look like? I am a big proponent and advocate for health and wellness from not only the nutritional aspect, but also to the physical activity aspect. Like I said, I just celebrated my 43rd. I'm not here to toot my own horn, but I feel great. I forget the aesthetic, but I feel great. My back doesn't hurt, sleep well at night, get into my REM sleep comfortably, making sure that I get into bed early so therefore I can get up. Routines for me, so you guys understand where I'm speaking from, again, it's not to be above the fray. It's because I do the work of the work. But getting into bed, when my daughter was around, it was tough. But getting into bed around 9 o'clock, when I have friends that come through, you know, still making sure it's in a reasonable time between 9 or later and 10 o'clock getting into bed, and then waking back up early in the morning between 4 and 4:30 in the morning. Getting up at that time allows me to meditate. For me, if you're a prayer, pray. If you are a Muslim and, you know, getting on your knees 3 or 4 times a day is important, do that. Whatever it is, freaking do it, but do it. I'm just telling you what I do. Doing that when I get up out of bed, before I even brush my teeth, before, you know, if I'm with my lady partner, before I kiss her good morning, whatever it might be, I meditate. And sometimes it's a great 20, 30 minutes. Sometimes it's maybe just 5 to 8 minutes, to be honest with you. But in that, though, it allows me to be still and give to myself and prime myself for my day. After I get through with that, then I get up, get downstairs, get in the car, go to a gym. My gym is not far. I've made sure my proximity where I stay, even when I travel, I'm in close proximity within at least a 2 or 3 mile radius of a gym. I go to the gym because I like making sure I physically take myself from a comfort location to a location where I am now forced to be in activity and lift weight. For me, that confrontation of friction between my muscle and the weight load that helps me decompress. That obviously also helps me physically take care of my body in a way that because we're no longer hunters and gatherers, because I'm no longer a young man. I'm no longer in college. I'm no longer athletic, right? from the standpoint of that's my job. I'm not a pro athlete by any means of stretch of imagination. That's my ability to keep my body, my parasympathetic and my sympathetic nervous system in constant tension and influx. So therefore I can stay sharp. Okay. After I do that, I come back home because again, within a 2 or 3 mile radius, I do that on purpose because I know I have to head into the office around 8 o'clock or 8:30. Head into the office around 8:30. Normally it's a 40-minute drive to the office. So I need to make sure I leave on time because traffic is a little ridiculous, right? All this is prep, right? And then I'm at the office from 8:30 to 5. That the current work dynamics for myself, I have a 9 to 5, right? In that 9 to 5, everything comes at me that may need to come. My daughter might call from college now because she's in college. I need to deal with that, send her some money, whatever it might be. But because I prepped myself in the morning and gave myself the ability to not only mentally decompress first and foremost and spiritually decompress and set my intention and prime myself for my day, then I shock my system by physically going into physical activity. For me, it's gym. Now, whether you want to do Pilates, yoga, if you're a cycler, if you are a swimmer, if you are a runner, whatever, if a boxer, whatever it is, do those things. Do not do those things. But by doing those things, what you find is you're already, like I told you, the parasympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight nervous system that we're not training anymore. And it gets hit now because of the workload and because of the stress of work, it gets hit and it gets heightened. If you don't mitigate it or learn how to manipulate that system on your own, then when things hit you at work, it tends to exacerbate the problem and exacerbate your health to the point to where you're going to injure yourself later on. And it comes out, like I said, in burnout or in the things I've already discussed. On top of when I'm doing this, I didn't talk about the fact that I eat healthy. I only drink water. I don't drink coffee at all. Never have. And again, not to say that's a bad thing, but my thing is, why induce caffeine to keep myself awake when if I get my proper sleep, my body will be on its own circadian rhythm and proper rest pattern for itself? And why throw that off with caffeine? Because now I'm putting in a substance that's going to heighten me, right, to keep me or get me awake. And when that happens, now when I get into work at 9 o'clock and, you know, my upline might call me or, you know, one of my employees might call me with something stressful, something didn't go right, or someone wants to quit. And now this is a $500,000 contract that I have that I'm getting ready to lose. Now I'm heightened more, right? Now the levels have been elevated already unnaturally, but now the natural elevation of the stress that should be there, right? Because it's a shock. Now it's 3 times, 4 times what it should be. So what I'm saying to you guys is we have to learn how to position ourselves to be successful for ourselves, because at the end of the day, the work, the demands are not going to change. They are entropy. It is the disorder that is. It's interesting to me that especially as you matriculate through your work life, you still don't get an understanding. A lot of us don't understand. Work is going to be what work is. The company, if you don't own it, is going to be what the company is going to be. The demands, the uneven approach to what they're asking you to do or be is going to be just that. Why do you think just because you're in the situation that it's going to now change or be non-chaotic? What you have to do is meet the chaos or the disorder with a level of stoic approach, but you have to train yourself outside of that in order to make sure you're ready for it when it comes. I hope what I'm saying makes sense. This is why my pattern has been what it's been over the course of 20 plus years. And even in building businesses, losing businesses, building a successful business, even to, you know, per this conversation and adding on more, I've always had ability to be able to go into a doctor's appointment and my levels are fine. Be able to go in before I even go into that appointment to know that I'm healthy and I'm fine. I don't have any issues, bowel movement problems, any sleep problems. I'm not perfect and I'm not trying to be perfect. but I have a full awareness, emotional intelligence to know, okay, I don't snap on people too quick. I try to be fully present in conversations, even if they're in conversations or meetings of the opposing thought or situation I know I'm not agreeing in agreement with. I don't necessarily have to overdo it with that individual. If I lose a loved one or I lose a relationship based off of, you know, dating someone or being in a relationship, it doesn't have to be a callous thing or anger thing that makes me suffer, right? But because I'm balanced due to the small activities that I do on a daily basis, I'm now foundationally prepared for the traumas and the entropy of life that comes, the chaos that comes, and it doesn't have to throw me off, and I don't have to have a abrupt breaking point to where I'm out for now 2 or 3 weeks or a month or a year because I haven't taken care of myself, if that makes sense. And now I'm losing traction within my career, or I'm losing traction within my relationships, or I'm losing traction even with my own self. So this is why I'm trying to talk to you guys about making sure you're putting in things and tools and resources that are natural for you to help you be able to be prepared for what we already know life to already be. It will never correct itself on that end. And I don't know why we think it should. What it's going to be that what we need to do is be the strength and the stoic. You know, I know I've said this word a few times, but that's what it is. We need to be that pillar within the chaos around us at all times, as best as we possibly can. So we can have that sustained level of excellence. It's not going to be perfection, but it should be just sustained level of I can give my best at all times because of the work that I do that you don't see, right? We glorify athletes in here in America, football, basketball, tennis, right? If you're in Latin America, Europe's, you know, football, futebol in Brazil, Portugal, soccer and, you know, in other nations. We glorify these athletes because we can see in real time the totality of someone's excellence, right? Or lack thereof. You see the beautiful specimen of a stature of an athlete, you know, female, if she's in tennis, her strength physically. You see, you know, her power and her delivery on the racket and on her explosive steps. And, you know, you see his stature of being able to, after playing a long, intense game, you know, but still have a physique of, you know, representing strength and what we all would like to be in their competition, whether, you know, hopefully the outcome is a win, right? But someone has to lose. But you can see in real time the ebb and flow of points on one end going the way you want for that particular victor, or not going the way in, you know, you want for your particular team, right? And you see in real time someone going through the ebb and the flow, the ebb and the flow and ebb and the flow. That's why we like sports. And then you can see in real time the champion, right? But what we also like to now praise them for when you like the superstar, if you're not hating on the superstar, right, in any sport, we like to see and hear the work that they put in. And that's the part that really is the most impressive to me, the work that they put in that we don't see. The hours, the constant hours, the repetition of the constant hours, the hours put in even after having to go through the actual engagement of the actual activity, going back to the work of rebuilding oneself, watching video, going back to the court and working on the backhand for hours, working on flexibility, dexterity, working on if you have injury, which they do if they're pros, they have injuries all the time because there's no way you can play that long without injury, right? Female or male. And we see and we hear, because we don't see, we hear that they put in the therapeutic work and that they put in the ice baths and all this. And it sounds so cool, right? It sounds like that's awesome. And what I always liken it to when I talk to my teams, and especially before I talk to them, I talk to myself. If an athlete that I'm watching on TV can do that, what makes me any different? My work is just as demanding. My energy given to the job at hand is just as demanding. What makes me any different from the standpoint of getting the pass on taking care of myself the same way an athlete would? it always shocks me when I hear people say, I don't have time. I can't. You know, I work, you know, a 12-hour day. And then by the time I'm done with that, I got to get the kids ready. By the time I get the kids ready, then yeah, I got to, you know, spend time with my loved one. And then when I spend time with my partner, it's already midnight and I got to go to bed. And then so you basically what you're telling me is, oh, it's OK for you to not take care of yourself because of all of what is already what we know it to be, the responsibilities at hand. But you'll sit here and look at an athlete and you'll chastise them or you'll praise them, depending upon if they're your favorite or not. Right. But regardless, you'll chastise them if they don't win and then they don't go back because they're getting paid millions of dollars and they don't go back and they don't work on themselves. You'll chastise them. What's the difference between you, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not taking care of yourself, but then once that moment hits and you're an athlete and you blow a knee, right? Or you have burnout, you pass out, you snap on your loved one or your kids too prematurely because it got too much. It became too much, right? You overloaded, you know? And an athlete injures himself because, you know, they decelerate a lot of times and overload happens too much, you know, weak stabilizers or whatever it might be, you know, weak, you know, protagonist muscles, and it pops because they didn't train properly or overloaded too much. Same thing happens to you. But the only difference is at least I give respect to that athlete from the standpoint they work on themselves and it just happened to be too much and it broke, but they can get back. When you break, though, it looks like you're not showing up on time for work. You can't make it into work. You have to use your health care. You're worried now because your cholesterol is too high. Blood pressure is too high. Your heart is enlarged. A lot of factors. And it's hard to come back from that because you did not work harder on yourself when nobody was looking because you gave yourself the excuse that the workload was too much when you know this is what this is going to be over here. You know that it's going to be work, it's going to be intense, but you're not taking the steps to help yourself. So I go back to the reason why you heard me talk about my routine, because this is what's allowing me to, in my early 40s, continue to pursue work, two companies, building two companies, talking to my daughter, travel the world, still investing, still learning, still reading, because I take care of the body and the mind. Not when it's in front of you guys like it is right now. It's when it's not in front of you. So therefore, I can show up my full self and be able to deliver and also not have to worry about those other stressors that most people have to worry about because I know I'm taking care of myself the right way. The other thing that I told you I do, and I'm giving you these, so hopefully you can use these as example, not so much, you can crucify me and say he's showing off or whatever, that's fine. I know how social things get, but if those who listen to this platform, I believe, understand, if you're the ones that support us, you understand we're trying to make sure we help you, or like we always say, help us help you. And we're trying to make sure we help you position yourself the best way possible to be successful and sustain that level of success continuously without major interruptions or being caught off guard because you get these interruptions and they hit you so fast and so hard in the face and physically that they now make you change when it shouldn't have to take the, oh, I just passed out in order for me to now make the decision to make a difference for my, or change for myself and put my mask on first. So the other thing that I do is I eat healthy. Like I said, I drink a lot of water, don't eat, drink caffeine, like I told you, but I also make sure I eat for most part healthy meals for me. And we can get into the murky waters of, you know, what you should be vegetarian, vegan, all that great stuff. You know what, if you're smart from the standpoint of willing to do the research and the work, you'll figure out what works best for you. For me, it's always eating more of a Mediterranean style nutritional lifestyle. And I always say nutritional lifestyle, never a diet, because it has to be a lifestyle. Because as I have, like I told you, matriculated into this particular age that I am, at different points and different times and different, you know, seasons of my years, you know, I can't eat a certain way, either for financial reasons when I was younger or now because of time constraints and flights and moving back and forth. So you have to be particular about what you eat, and it has to be a lifestyle that suits the style of the life at that time, but also too still has a certain foundational root to what you're not going to break from. So for me, that's more of a Mediterranean, fish, greens, quinoa, that type of thing, right? And then, like I said, water. Occasionally, I do drink whiskey. Occasionally, when I say occasionally, maybe once a month. I drink whiskey. I had a season where I did drink in my 30s. I didn't drink throughout my college, and I never smoked anything like that. But I didn't drink throughout my college years. I didn't start drinking alcohol until I was 30, actually. So, but even at that, I had a season where I kind of went in on it, and then I backed off, right? Again, recognizing lifestyle, recognizing that, okay, maybe the path that I'm going down at that particular moment is not the best path for me to be successful physically, long-term, and mentally, and mentally sharp, right? So that being said, eating healthy is very, very vital. I normally prepare my meals on the weekend for at least 2 or 3 days in advance. And again, I'm not get to get into the murky waters of people don't like, you know, microwave food or microwave is bad for you. Look, at the end of the day, again, not trying to be perfect, just trying to do a Zuckerberg move, if you will, when he only wears black sweatpants, right? Black clothes. So that's one thing he could take off his thought process for a day, right? Is the clothes he has to wear, right? That's all I'm trying to do is make sure I don't have to have not only for my health purpose, but also financial purposes, as well as time purposes. I don't have to think about it. I just grab a container. I have the meal already ready. I warm it up. I eat it. I'm done. Quinoa, salmon, jasmine rice, you know, halibut, you know, whatever it might be at that time, you know, asparagus, Brussels sprouts, whatever it is, it's already ready. Right. So I don't have to worry about it. So now my focus can be on that employee that came to me and talked about I might lose them. Now I'm losing $500,000 contract with the company that I have them staffed at. Right. Staffed on these things I can now deal with and I can give my full attention without having. Well, I wonder what I'm going to eat for lunch. I wonder now, too, I'm about to go get something processed. When we understand, you know, if we want to hate on food deserts in certain parts of, you know, cities and stuff like that, or we want to say, okay, you know, groceries cost too much or whatever it might be, I don't have to worry about that at that particular juncture. Now my complete thought process is strictly on the task at hand comfortably, and I'm still eating healthy and I'm still able to take care of my lifestyle nutritionally and my mental and my business. You see how that works? This is how it all coalesces together, and it's not one for the other, or, you know, I'm cutting off my hand despite my face or despite my foot. I forget how that phrase goes, right? So this is what I've been doing. This is what I've been doing literally for the past, I want to say, 22 years of my professional career. And this is why I say, guys, if you want to avoid, but not only avoid, because we never want to avoid anything. If you want to mitigate burnout and you want to not have to worry about burnout because of the outside external forces, that will never change, guys. It will never change. We're always going to have every 4 years political elections. You're always going to have a political strife in some way, shape, or form. You're going to be on one side, you're going to be on the other side, regardless. That's just what it is. You're going to have, you know, financial up and downs. You're going to have issues with, you know, if you're in a family of, you know, raising kids, you're going to have dichotomy and issues between how they see you're raising them. You're going to have opposition at times with your partner. Not too bad, hopefully, right? And in some cases, you might have it bad, but that's a part of the life journey that we're on. These things are not going to change. So instead of us trying to change those things, why don't we change the thing that we can change, which is you? Because I guarantee you, as we're having this conversation, as I appreciate you listening to me for the past few minutes of me going on this rant, if you will, but hopefully educational from a standpoint of just encouraging you to, if you do not make the change yourself, at some point, the physiology in the body will make that change for you. And you see it, you've seen it, you know it's there. You've heard the stories from your parents, if you've been able to have parents around, or you've seen it from a far off, you heard someone come and tell you, man, did you hear about such and such? I haven't heard from them in years. Oh yeah, you heard they had a heart attack. That's what that is, guys. It's because of lack of taking care of oneself, eating what you want to eat in the premise given that it's okay because I'm working 12, 16 hours, all I can get is this. All I have access to is this. I had to fly in, you know, last minute to go look at, you know, this deadline for the build out that didn't happen. And all I think I could grab was, you know, fast food. And fast food being something fried or being something processed that is not conducive to your body type, right? Blood type or whatever it might be. These are the things that you can no longer continue to allow to be said because the body will give you its comeuppance. It will make you level up at some point. we think that because we sacrificed, and I had a conversation with someone recently about, you know, whether we're selfish or we're sacrificing, you know, because he was saying that he believes that we're all kind of selfish now, trying to pursue that, you know, that upward ladder climb. So we've been selfish. And I think, no, I think it's more of a, we're sacrificing ourselves because we believe that's what we're told we have to do in order to be okay. If I get to that level of C-suite or the executive level or VP level, and I start earning that $300K a year, you know, a little over a $250,000 a year, you know, job, then at that point I can have the financial means to relax. And what everybody tends to forget is, as they said in rap songs, more money, more problems, right? And it's not so much the problems that you think of, like stresses of people coming at you because you're a millionaire now, everybody wants it. No, it's the fact that if you are going to be a $300,000 a year earner employee, it comes with $300,000 a year worth of stress. And I'm not saying that's the problem. That's the reality. That's a fact. It comes with, you have gone from leading an organization of 5 people to now 400 people. It comes with, now, if you don't meet the demands of that position, you are let go. And what we do is, I got a $300,000 position. Now I go get that, you know, $300,000 car along with an $800,000 mortgage, your $800,000 home with a $400K mortgage, along with private school tuition, along with, right? So you add that, we add that on, and then we wonder why we're stressed out. And then we don't do what I said do as far as what we should be doing, which is taking care of ourselves. Now, how you do it is up to you, but we're not doing that part. We're not doing what we see the athletes do, which is working behind the scenes on our craft. On our craft is not so much just that job and the certifications and the, you know, the conferences you go to and attend, the LinkedIn post that you repost and that you said something so articulate. It's not just that. It's the things that I'm talking about that doesn't get the reward on the outside and doesn't get seen, because aesthetically, it's not about the aesthetic that we equate all health and wellness to by saying going to the gym. It's not about having the tight butt or the nice arms. It's about, again, causing that friction that we as human beings, Homo sapiens, you know, when we were ancestry working in, you know, or having to hunt and having to, you know, sit by a fire. And when that went out, having to be alert because there was no light and there's bigger creatures around, that has gone from us, right? Now we're sitting in front of a computer, no fear, because we're in a nice home. We're in a nice $800,000, you know, $500,000 home. We're in a nice condo with others, safety. There's nothing to alarm you or have to be ready for. And so only thing that does that for us now with the dopamine hits or keeps us kind of alert is either if you're on social media when you should be working, right? Or if you're in a relationship that could be toxic, right? Or unless you're getting that from a career that's driving you and you feeling compelled to, you know, I got another Harvard MBA, I got another Harvard certification. So now I should be able to, you know, pitch my upline that I should now be suited for the next job opening that's happening, that I should be ready for because I've been in an organization now for the past 36 months. They know and they see my work. That's the only thing that's keeping us, you know, sharp and alert and fired. And that shouldn't be the only thing that's keeping us that way. We can still exercise. We can still eat right. We can still do these things. And because we're not eating right, we're breaking down our, you know, ATP, CTP in our body. We're breaking down our functionality of the natural function of our body to be able to be efficiently operating, you know, in the lungs, in the blood circulation. And we're breaking that down because of the food we're putting in, right? So if we're not doing that small work to take care of these things on our own, that doesn't get a salary, it doesn't get any accolades for it, it doesn't get any praise for it. It only gets praise for it if you do have a nice chest as a man or nice arms. It only gets praise for it if, you know, if you're a lady, you have a nice posterior, right? That's how we do it in society, right? That's why people say, well, I'm never going to be that, so I don't do it. And that's not why you do these things. You do it so you don't have burnout. You do it so you can take care of yourself and your family. You do it so you can put your mask on first. You do it so you don't pass out and get lightheaded, have a panic attack out of nowhere at a young age of 44, and you should be healthy and alert and clear-minded. You do it so you can sleep easy at night. You do it so you don't have to drown yourself in coffee, 3 cups of coffee, just to stay alert and stay ready and stay awake during your Zoom meeting that's going to be 90 minutes long with the CEO and the board. You do it so you can be ready. You do it so you don't burn out. You do it so you can elect who you feel you want to elect because you're not forced by, swayed by anybody else other than the work and the research you've done. You do it because you're comfortable and confident in yourself. And you also do it because whoever you don't elect and they put in office, that you'll still be okay and be stoic enough to be able to handle your life and live your life the best way you can because you're okay. Because you've taken care of yourself, you've done the work on yourself that most people won't do. You've done the work on yourself that we all have only given to athletes and entertainers for some reason, expect them to be the only ones to do it, and we don't do it ourselves. Or we give it to our kids because we expect them to be better than mom and dad. Do as I say, not do as I do. And we know with children, it's always a do as I do, not a do as I say. So if you want to be that example, you have to do it yourself, ladies and gentlemen. And I'm here to just encourage you, please. If you don't want to continue burning out at work, if you don't want to feel burnt out at work, if you want to continue being at a sustained high level of excellence and deliverable for yourself and to continue going to your North Star, and then everything else around there will get to its North Star, you have to take care of yourself when no one is looking. You have to take care of yourself mentally, spiritually, emotionally, physically, nutritionally, when no one is looking. And when you do that, the reward will show itself, and it has nothing to do with your aesthetic. Eventually, your aesthetic will be there because the outside representation, as you all know, as we all know, is only a reflection of the internal. That's exactly why when you pass out or get lightheaded or have high blood pressure or you have a beer belly or you're a little bit overweight, that's because you have been stressing yourself and not taking care of you. You've been doing everybody else and everything else around you better than you take care of yourself. And that has to change. You don't have to worry about AI if you are taking care of yourself because you're mentally and emotionally in a position where you can now pivot into the proper certifications or the new career path that will allow you to gain the knowledge you need because you are alert. You're not feeling old and angst and out of it because you're 52 and you have been a JavaScript writer for the past 20 years and I can't learn anything new. No, if you're taking care of yourself because your lifestyle, nutrition, you're constantly finding new things to eat, you're constantly doing something physical to help your body stay sharp, you don't have a worry about learning something new because you know you can. You know you'll fit right into it. And you know the change that happens, it might be a little down period, but you'll be right back into the flow of things because you're used to that, because you're used to taking care of yourself over a course of time. The small compound activities that you do behind closed doors or you don't do will show, ladies and gentlemen. This is how you don't have to burn out at work, okay? I want to say thank you. I hope everything that I said makes sense. If it doesn't, you know what to do. Leave a comment. I'm more than happy to talk with you guys about it. Because again, when I'm on this platform with you guys and when I have my time blocked out to comment and respond and message you guys, I'm willfully open to the opposition that may come. And those who want to converse and say, you know, you agree, cool, and share what you do, I might want to add it in. I also read books, and sometimes more often I do audio books because of the time constraints. But I'm constantly doing different books, whether it's self-help, whether it's financial, whether it's emotional intelligence books, whether it's, you know, foreign language books. I do it all because, again, I have to make sure I am taking care of me. It's not about the level of success of these things, ladies and gentlemen. We have to make sure we leave that in the compartments of our life where that should be. Success in certain dynamics is important, being able to quantify that. When it comes down to your health and your life and your mental and emotional well-being, it's not about the perceived success of it. Like I said, the aesthetic look of it being perfect. It's about your continual stacking the proper elements on one another and the success of it is irrelevant. It's just the deliverable of the betterment for yourself, which is important. And that you will be able to gauge. All right. So again, I know I want to wrap up here. I just want to make sure I express this to you guys because I'm very passionate about this because I have employees, I have team members, I have, you know, silent partners I work with. I have a daughter. I have grandparents, my parents who are grandparents. I have a loved one that I love. And the common denominator between all of us, no matter if our socioeconomic is different or our race is different, our culture is different, the common denominator between all of us is we can all take care of ourselves. If you take care of you, for me, I can take care of me for me, and we can come together and we can be great together. The problem is if I'm looking for you to take care of me, you're looking for me to take care of you, and I'm not taking care of me, then it's a problem. And I think that's exactly what we're running into in the political state and affairs. We're looking for everybody to come save us in every situation to come save us, which is another conversation for another day. But we're not fucking saving ourselves. Save your goddamn self. And I mean it just that emphatically, because if you're not saving yourself, you can't expect someone else to know how to take care of you if you can't take care of you. And once you take care of you, then you can see the other, whether you agree with them or not, you can at least accept them for who they are, because you understand the work and the level of intensity it takes and the level of sacrifice it takes to take care of yourself while trying to take care of everything else. And you can come with a sense of grace and empathy towards the other. And that's what we need to be if we're going to start allowing humanity to continue to grow and evolve. All right. Thank you for your time, guys. If you have anything you want to say, leave comments, leave, statements, like, subscribe, share. I look forward to talking to you guys again soon on our next podcast. And our next one will be more along the technical aspects of staffing and hiring in that. Okay. Have a great day, ladies and gentlemen, a great week, great rest of your year. We'll talk shortly. Thank you for your time.